بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شاه أبو سعيد رحمة الله عليه is the grandson of Shah Abdul Quddus Sab Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat Haji Sab Rahmatullah Alayh, whenever he wanted any clarity in aspects of tasawwuf, he used to refer to Musnawi Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sab Rahmatullah Alayh, whenever he wanted any clarity in aspects of tasawwuf, he used to refer to the works of Shah Abdul Quddus Sab Rahmatullah Alayh. And Hazrat Shah Abdul Quddus Sab Rahmatullah Alayh, his silsila reaches up to great people like Hazrat Jalaluddin Thanesri and the likes thereof. Very great awliya, very great ulama ikram of India approximately 5 centuries ago. Shah Abdul Quddus Sab, he used to start off his zikr after Isha. And zikr haddadi, like how we strike our head, so he used to make zikr haddadi. The tartib is a little bit different. But his zikr used to start off after Isha, and the zikr is to end with Fajr namaz. The condition of the house was that the woman that he had married was the daughter of the king, princess she was. But on most occasions, there won't be anything at home. Hazrat Shah Sab would come to the house and the wife would complain that there's nothing to feed the children. So he would console her, telling her, inshallah, great meals are being prepared for you in Jannat. And she was also a pious woman and she would be comforted in these words. She had some jewelry of her own. Coming from a royal family, she had some jewelry. So when he would come into the house, he would say that, I get the smell of dunya in this house. So she gave everything away in charity. She had just one ring or one necklace left, and she thought that she's got her son Ruknuddin, and Ruknuddin has to get married, then she will give that in his nikah, dowry. So one buzurg had come into the house one day and she complained to that buzurg that this is the position, all the jewelry that I had given it away. Now I've got one ring and one necklace left for my son Ruknuddin, and he insists that I must give this away as well. He's getting the smell of dunya in this house. So the buzurg explained to the Shah Abdul Quddus Sab Rahmatullah Alayh that, why do you harass this woman so much? You get the smell of dunya only in this house here. Why do you harass this woman so much? Then he spared her. Otherwise, he was a buzurg, very, very high, for very high caliber. Admiral Tami Sahib Rahmatullahi says that Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, his jubba used to be available in Thanabon or Jalalabad somewhere. Someone had the jubba and he would offer other people to see it as well and wear it for that 5 minutes, 2 minutes or so as a matter of tabarruk. So Mawlana Thami Rahmatullahi had asked Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi, as it was his routine, that Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi had suggested to him or instructed him that in the matters of Islah and Reformation, you should refer to Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he asked him about this jubba and that how is it if he wears it for tabarruk's sake. Al-Mu'awiyah Sahib Rahmatullah explained to him that if you get an occasion and there's no fear of any bid'at, etc., then you must definitely wear it. So he says, I avoid. And for those moments that I avoid, forget sin, even the thought of wrong, any stray thought just disappear from my mind, just the thought of Allah Ta'ala. For those moments, whereas the jubbah from the time of Shah Sahib till now is about 400 to 500 years. But the asar of it, the effect of it, can be perceived even to this time. So this was the Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, and he hails from amongst the mashayikh of our silsila. So his grandson, Abu Sa'id, Rahmatullah Alayh, in his youth, he wasn't so concerned about Islam, reformation, correction. He was known for everything. Like how you say, he was a jack of all trades. So in anything, he was the master. And people spoke to him directly, indirectly, but nothing doing. One person once told him, you know, if your grandfather was only alive, then this would not have been the position with yourself. But he had to hear this and he got shaken up. So he inquired from his mother, that was the daughter of Shah Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, that who are the murids and the khulafa of my grandfather, my Nana. So the mother explained that now there's about two or three people, and one person that is quite popular is Hazrat Nizamuddin Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh. So he set out. The fire had that fire was already in him now. Now that fire pushes him, see. So this is that zeal, this is that fire, this is what we aspire for. That fire must come up, we get fired up, and we can move. That steam engine can't move if there is no fire in it. It needs that fire. When it's fired up, then it moves. He went up. Hazrat Nizamuddin Balkhi Rahmatullah heard about Shah Abu Sa'id coming up. So he made lavish arrangements, that my Sheikh's son is coming, and I need to receive him, I need to give him the welcome, I need to give him the warmth, I need to give him the reception. And he went out of the way to welcome him. Welcomed him excellently, very well. He gave him the very warm welcome, different foods, and all important people came to receive him, throwing gifts upon him, and expensive gifts and clothing, and comfort and luxury and everything else. So after a day or two, then he says to Hazrat Nizamuddin Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, this is not the reason that I have come here. So Nizamuddin asked him, then Sahibzada, tell me exactly what you have come for. So he says, I've come for that treasure that you had taken from my Nana, from my grandfather. When he mentioned this, the Sheikh's eyes changed straight away. His whole approach changed. Just one sentence and the whole approach changed. So, well, then remove all these clothes. You see those ragged clothes that the ordinary khadims and workers wear, menial workers wear. Very basic, menial type of workers, how you get here, wearing overalls, whatever it is. So you wear, that's going to be your clothing. And you're not going to eat with me any longer. You see the scraps that fall in the dastarkhan, you're going to eat that. And number three is, you're not going to sit in my majlis. Where I have discourses, you're not going to be seated there. And number four is, you're going to be cleaning the hammam, the baths, you're going to be cleaning all that. Stowing the coal, seeing that it is right, that's going to be your work. Carried on for some time. And then after some time had elapsed, Shah Sahib had felt, Shah Nizamuddin Sahib had felt, now this Abu Sa'id is made up now. But let's try him out, whether he's made up or not. So he was seated somewhere on the way, and Hazrat Nizamuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had instructed the Bangan, the woman that carries all the filth, all the waste, right? All the sewage. When you say waste, not our kitchen waste, the sewage. But when you're going past, then you must just knock onto him, that's all. Just bump onto him. Now, she went and she bumped onto him as he had instructed, Shah Sahib had instructed. So now, Hazrat Shah Abu Sa'id Sahib was terrified. And he says, Nahua Gango. Nahua Gango. Had it only been Gango, then I would have fixed you up now and now. A bangan like you, and you're coming and knocking on to me. Don't you know who I am? So he was coming from that background. You see, he was mastered in everything. Everything now. He calls the shot in everything. He couldn't see this thing here. The Bangan came and reported to Shah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, that this is the position. This is what happened. So Shah Sahib says, Abhi tak sahib zadgi unke dimag se nikla nahi. Up to now, that feeling of recognition and belonging to a great Buzurg, etc., that has not disappeared from his mind. That feeling of belonging and being something and being from such and such a lineage has not disappeared from his mind. Now this is the thing that they aspire to remove. When they say fana'iyat, is rah mein pehla qadam hai. Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullah used to repeatedly say this, ye pehla qadam hai, without which you can't make real progress. You can do everything else, but then you talk of real progress, and that real progress is fana'iyat. And that fana'iyat, either you call it Islam, or you call it total conformity with a smile. Total conformity with a smile. Absolute conformity. And that conformity is not grudgingly, but with a smile. Without any anticipation that you're going to get anything. One is you conforming with the anticipation that you'll get khilafat, or you'll get favored. This must be a constant feature, total conformity, without any disapproval, not even the expression of disapproval on the face, rather with a smile on the face. Absolute conformity. Whether it refers to taqween, whether it refers to tashri. Tashri, we all know, shariat. Taqween refers to other things. Right? Taqween refers to worldly aspects, right? Worldly aspects like sickness, wealth, position, respect, honor. Someone gets it, someone doesn't get it, right? So, in every aspect, whatever happens, whether it's sickness, whether it is wealth, whether it's constraints, whether it is difficulty, whatever happens, but you are taking it in the stride, you are taking it, embracing it, you are happy with whatever decrees, whatever Allah Ta'ala decrees, you are happy. You're conforming, and conforming without even the expression of disapproval. Absolute happy, you're taking it in the stride. Allah lahul khalq wal amr. That when Allah Ta'ala's right is to command, it is His right to create. So everything is His creation. Sickness came from Him, happiness came from Him, constraints came from Him, difficulties come from Him. So when it is His right, then you don't have the right to say why this thing has come to me. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ رَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Your Rabb creates what He wishes. And He selects who He pleases. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. You don't have any option. In these matters, you don't have an option. The choice is ours. The option is ours. So this is that fana'iyat. You're in Jamaat now, for example, and the Markaz has instructed that you people will go to Malawi. And they instructed another group, you people will go to Japan, for example, right? Now, that group that was destined to go to Malawi, they don't say, hey, oh, I see there's favoritism, yeah? Yeah, favoritism. These people are a little bit thick with the Merkas, so they sent to Japan. And we got no position, so they just pushed us here to Malawi. All right, now my Lapak is great. No, total conformity without the slightest disapproval, no disapproval. So his heart, the one who's got fana in Jamaat, his heart will be, my task is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is not confined to Japan or Malawi. Allah's pleasure is in just conforming, total conformity without any disapproval. I will get it in that land, I will get it in this land. So whatever work has been assigned to you, the idea is, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِدْوَانًا. My whole focus, my whole goal is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure. So whatever work has been assigned to me, I'm happy in that. I don't want to ask why this work was assigned to him and why this work was assigned to me. Why is he favored with this material and I'm not favored? Why his children are so intelligent and capable and my children aren't like that? Why he's got this type of property and why he's been treated by his elders like that and why the elders don't see me like how they see him favorably? So you've got no questions. In the stride, he's taking it. So this is that fana'iyat. And this is what the mashayikh they wait for. The total, total fana'iyat. It's like that seed, you see. That seed that wants to be productive. If it wants to be productive, it has to annihilate itself. It's gone, finished. There's no sign of it. Once you've sowed it into the earth, there's no sign of that seed. Now, when there's no sign of the seed, now it germinates, it sprouts out, it's a beautiful plant, then its fruit come up, and the fruits are eaten by the birds, it's eaten by people, by animal, its tree, the shade of it, everybody enjoys. And then the production is so great that it's eaten locally, it's eaten abroad. It's eaten as chutney, it's eaten as food. It's like a staple diet and it's a luxury, the date tree. So that thing, that seed, when it went into the ground, it annihilated itself, it finished itself. As a result, now that thing is going locally and it's going abroad. The fruit that is coming out of it is being planted and replanted and transplanted. Everywhere it's being planted, right? So the whole world has been flooded with it. So that is all subject to that initial annihilation. Had that seed told to itself, you know, I'm going to go into the ground. I must annihilate myself. There'll be nothing of me. And who? I won't be recognized. I won't be seen. I won't be known. No. I want to remain in my original form. Will there be any production? No production. All right? You remain in your original form. You look beautiful. But no production, like it is the craze today. Right? Even physically, let alone spiritually, it is like that. They don't want to be production. One, two, and they say, no, enough now. Hum do hamare do. Enough. Enough is enough. What do you think? I was asking one person, how many children you got? He said, no, two or something. Two or three, says. So the production line is ended, I asked him. He said, no, I wanted to continue. But my father-in-law says, I India ni male. It's not India, this. Even physically, no, there's no production. And spiritually, there isn't anything. Spiritually, there isn't anything, and physically, there isn't. So you're looking nice, that's all. What's happening is you're looking smart. But there's no production. Like, it's a simply put, turn it into a term that you can identify with. You've got a staff in the shop, right? He's very well polished, he looks smart, he dresses up smart, puts powder, cream, everything, well, trim, and he comes nice. But no job he's doing, no work he's doing. But he comes with a polished shoe, polished attire, everything polished. He speaks also very polished His speech is polished, his attire is polished, the car that he drives, that's polished, he speaks also excellently, but absolutely no production you've got from him. So what's his kya fayda? So we are like that now. See, in Western communities we are like that. There's no production in us. We are eating the best, we wearing the best, driving the best, but then spiritually we ask, where's the production? Then we are like that same staff in the shop, no production. See? Why there isn't production? There is no fana'iyat. So once you've got that fana'iyat, then you'll find production. One man is powerful, he's got a capacity of 1 million people, 10 million people. He's got such a huge capacity that he is provided, that is subject to this annihilation initial. We had one case here. One person was a new Muslim, I think 2 months or 3 months. So he read his Asr Namaz. And then he had a shower. Then he had a bath. So the Ustad or someone asked him, what happened, bhai? So no, I had to have a faraz bath. So, and I had to perform my namaz, I had to have a faraz bath, and I had to have a bath and I had to perform my namaz. So I thought, let me read my namaz first, then I'll have the faraz bath. Now, we will laugh at him. Why? Because we will say that ghusl was a precondition for the namaz. But he didn't know the sequence. He doesn't know the sequence. Like that, we don't know the sequence. We'll be laughing at him. But ourselves also, we don't know the sequence. That sequence is like this, by Allah Ta'ala, first fana. And then afterwards, everything else. Everything else will come after that fana'iyat. You need to finish yourself, khalas. So, Hazrat Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib, Rahmatullah, Shah Nizamuddin Sahib says, abhi tak sahib zadgi ka bu uske dimaag se nikla nahi. That sahib zadgi ke, I belong to this lineage, I am of this position, I am of this background, hasn't disappeared from his mind. Kept him again for some time, worked on him, and now he tells the Bangan, now you go by him and you see to it that little bit of that dirt, that little bit of that suraj must fall on his head, little bit. So she did as she was instructed. Now the second time he didn't say anything, but tez nigah se dekhna shuru kar diya. He stared at her, gave her a dirty look, like I will say, gave a dirty look. She came and reported to the Khanqa, this is what happened. Up till now, the job is not perfected. It's not a perfect job. Job has not been accomplished yet. You need to still accomplish it. There is still something left. Worked on him again, kept him for some time, worked on him. People complain there's no Khanqa in South Africa. But are they the people for that Khanqa? Are they the people to accept this type of khidmat, this type of service, this type of training? Are they prepared for going through that? They're not prepared to go through that. It's a rohanka. So what you've got now, that's ghanimat. Whoever you got, Ramzan, out of Ramzan, whatever is going on, that is ghanimat for our context. Yeah, those people that have that capacity, then they can go for more serious ones. But now we don't have that capacity. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi, when he would see someone progressing, then now to try him out, he would shout him, and he'll shout him very bad. Terrible. Pack your bag, pack your belonging and move now. I don't want to see your face here. Just move it from here. Now the person is in South Africa, and the Shaykh is giving it to him in Medina Munawwara. Where must I move? Sometimes at an odd time, you spoiled everything. And it's just a cover-up, just to see now what's going to be the response. Just to see now what's going to be the response in the person. And he'll give it to him. 1 hour, he'll give it to him. Solid, giving it to him. Just move from me. I don't want to see you. Spoiling everything. You're a block in the way here. Spanning the works here. Just giving it to him. But in the meanwhile, you want to see now that fana'iyat, how deep is going into him. My one friend told me, Shaykh was testing him out, you see, and gave it to him. You take your bedding and you move now straight. I don't want to see the sign of you here. So it was in Medina Munawwara. He went straight to the Rose Mubarak. He went and cried there. interceding. Even cried for solid 1 day he went. Crying. Next day Sheikh called him. Sheikh told him that this was just a test. Baki waha jaakar shikayat karne ki kya zarurat thi? What was the need for you to go there and make shikayat there? See the taluk here with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You got to know straight away. Though that person didn't come and say that I went to the Rose Mubarak. No. She got it. He picked it up. See? Because they belong to that same dargah. In other words, they belong to that same threshold. So what's going on in the threshold, they will know. Sheikh is like from that family, you see. Spiritually, he's there. So when he's there, so he'll know what's going on. Like if something's happening in the kitchen, those that are in the kitchen, they will know, alright, this is what's happening. Now, you don't say that he's Alimul Ghaib now. He knows everything that's happening everywhere. No. He knows what's going on in the kitchen, right? How much milk is there, or milk, some milk was stolen, he wasn't there. But when he came, they told him about it. So you don't say that he's Alimul Ghaib. But really, because he's contacted this, so he knows that what's going on, what's short, and what's needed. So the Shaykh kept him again for the third time. Yeah, now small things. I say, hey, my Islah was made. Truly, my Islah was made. Small little things, and my Islah was made. What Islah was made? No Islah was made. Small little things, we can't take it. Oh, Gujarati people have this. Little shouting, little correction. No, you can't take it. Hey, I was embarrassed, man. I was humiliated in front of everybody. Our people, our zarf, our capacity is very small. Anyway, now the third time, and the Sheikh told him, or the Shah Sahib told him, now, you know that basket of filth, you go and dump it onto him entirely, complete. All the works must just rain onto him. Just empty it, finish. Now, she is the khadima, she is the slave girl, and she has to do as she's been instructed. Now, up to Shah Sayyid to ban chuke the, he was made now. Now, in the third time, when she went and dumped all that filth onto him, so now he got up with a fright, with a shock. You know, hey, it was my mistake, man. I sat on the way, and because I sat on the way, I was inconsiderate, therefore this had to happen. Please, my apologies. And he began to pick up all the dirt with his hands and fill it up into the basket. Now, when the Sheikh heard about it, his face just sparkled. Hey, this man is getting made now, mashallah. He's getting made. He's there already now, mashallah. The Sheikh was excited. Why? It's my Sheikh's grandson. And if he's going to be made, then I will definitely be delighted. I will definitely be happy. I will definitely be pleased about it. You see these people's hearts, how clean they are, how magnificent, radiant. They want to give out hidayat. They want to dispense with it. But then they must be receivers. You have got a sack, right? And you want a load of grains. But the sack got all holes. I want to give you, but can I give it to you? It's got holes right through. Big holes, small holes, medium holes, all right through it's got holes. Can I give? In spite of me wanting to give you, I can't give it to you because you don't have a container. So that's the position of the heart. That it can't take. You're going to give, and it's going to come out. You're going to give, it's going to come out. So we need to fix the container first. The vessel has to be fixed up. Once it's fixed up, then it will take. Then sky is the limit. But now the container is not fixed up. You can't complain now why the Sheikh is not giving. He's giving him and you're not getting. He's giving that person and I'm not receiving. Everybody else, they are progressing and I'm still there, stuck at the same spot. No movement. Like that Bani Israel in Wadi Ati, you know. In that plain where they're just wandering around. They can't make any move. Whatever move they make, they're still stuck up in that Wadi. That same valley that they're stuck up, they can't move. So you think that you're stuck up in that Wadi and you're not making any progress. But it's not that. Progress, the Sheikh is trying. The Sheikh is trying, but you don't know the procedure. You don't know what he is trying to do. Right. One person came to one sheikh And he stayed with him for a couple of years. And in spite of him remaining there in the service of the Sheikh, so the Sheikh observes that he's not making any progress. So the Sheikh asks him, I'm working so hard, you've been also working, I see, you've been agreeing, but there's no progress, what's wrong? I don't see the desired progress within you. So the Sheikh asked him, what's your niyat, what's your intention? So he said, my intention is, I must become a Sheikh like you, how you are Sheikh, and how you making murid, murad, everybody. So I must also begin to make murid, murad, I must get a circle of following everywhere, get dawat and get pampered everywhere, you know. So that's the chore in you, that's the thief in you. You get that fixed up, then you'll progress. The thief is there in you. You know, before becoming balig also, you want to become a father. It's hardly balig now, you must become a father. You have to go through the phases. You have to become balig and all that. Then, after you've assumed sense of responsibility by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, then you become a father. You're not even there, and you're dreaming so high. Now the Shaykh told him, all right, tomorrow I'll be going out hunting. So I want you to take care of the hunting dogs. In the Quran Sharif, having hunting dogs is permissible. مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُلْنَ مِمَّا عَلَّمَكُمُ اللَّهُ So you're using them only for hunting purposes or for security reasons, and this is an exception to the rule. You're not keeping it as a pet or as a pastime, but for security reasons or for hunting purposes, then it is permissible. So the Sheikh says, we're going out hunting tomorrow, and you will accompany us, and you will be in charge of the hunting dogs. Now they're all out. At the distance, the dogs spot some animal, buck or something. And now these hunting dogs give the chase. Now he's got those dogs fastened, and the strings are with him. Is strapped with him. Now those hunting dogs are nice, fat and strong, and they are giving the chase, and he can't control them. When he became uncontrollable, he says, now I can't control this, what must I do? If I let go, then the Sheikh will get disappointed. How can I do this? So he took the string and he fastened it around his waist. And those things are getting out of control. They giving the chase. Meanwhile, it's a rugged terrain, and his whole body is turned to blood, you know. Gashes and scars and hurt here, hurt there. In the meanwhile, Shah Nizamuddin's Sheikh, Hazrat Abdul Quddus, is already late, long time is late. He sees him in a vision. Okay, you know, you were also under me, and I had given you a training. But I didn't put you to such difficulties as you putting my grandson into. I didn't put you through such difficulty. Immediately the Sheikh got a shock. He got a shock, he got him fixed up and embraced him and conferred that whole treasure that he had, he conferred it to Shah Abu Sayyid. This Shah Abu Sayyid, then he instructed him that you start making the zikr. Now, every person, his past is a reflection of the future. You know, every person, like his childhood, etc., how he was brought up, now that becomes a reflection of the future, how he will conduct himself. So in his day, like we'll say in our terms, he was a dada, you know, everything, he was the master, right? So that type of person normally is very stubborn. He's got his mind screwed up on something, then you can't turn him. Now in the zikr, he experienced one tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He experienced a tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that kayfiyat, that feeling is something extraordinary, very, very beyond ecstasy. When it's ecstasy, this is beyond ecstasy. It's such a feeling, a special moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's got special tajalli he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he received it once, and that whole experience is over, and he wants to experience it for the second time. He's making zikr, not coming right. Then he said, let me do this, not coming right. He's trying the third thing, not coming right. Eventually he said, no, let me make habsedam. That's a type of zikr that they used to do previously. Now the Buzurgana Deen in this age have discontinued that. People don't have the strength. Habsedam is you make zikr, but you hold your breath. You hold your breath and then you make zikr. So he said, no, no, come what may, either my life goes or the tajalli comes again. Come what may. I am head over heels, and I say stubborn mizaj, temperament. I will do it, I will get it. If it doesn't come, I rather die. See, someone tasted these things here, he understands. Well, now, how can I explain people who are not anywhere close? How can I explain that? A small child, 5-year-old child, you can't explain to him the enjoyment of marriage. Can you explain him? You tell him so much about, see, you know, you talk about girlfriend. How can you talk such a thing? He will shout you. He doesn't know. He doesn't know about it. He doesn't have the capacity to taste it, to enjoy it. So he went to make Habsedam. And according to the kitabs, I don't know how it worked. Medically, something very far-fetched. But he made Habsedam. He held his breath for approximately 24 hours. And then, after that, the tajalli came. But he had held his breath so long that the lungs was already under tremendous pressure. When he let go, the way that air had been exhaled, that his ribs couldn't handle it. One rib was broken. From the ghayb, a hand appeared, and it began to treat him. And it was already that voice came, and the treatment came from the ghayb. The treatment came, and he tried to repair that. And also told, Abu Sayyid ku, choose soup. Soup mein kya kehte? Not shorba. Yakhni, haan. Choose ki yakhni usko pilao. Chicken soup, special type of soup, feed it to him. Now see, he was eating the scraps in the dastarkhan. Now, to roast chicken. Chicken in India, that time, chicken was a real novelty. Nobody gets it. Just the kings, royal people get it. From what extreme to what extreme? I think we're fixed up. But what I'm saying is, he fulfilled the sharait. When the sharait was fulfilled, now he comes to this end. But here, tell a person, hey, today, you must clean the dastarkhan today. Hey, he's humiliating me, man. What? I'm a Mulana, I'm like this now. And I was going to check up that. I must do that. So this fanayat is the thing that is desired in this path. You want then whoever gets it, Shah Abu Sayyid is not an alim. He's not an alim, but he had the capacity. The Sheikh picked it up that this man has got the capacity. I just need to work on him. He had the capacity and the Sheikh worked on him. Now he has become a means of hidayat for millions of people afterwards. He's got the capacity and he returns back to India from Balkh. Now he becomes a means of hidayat for millions of people, nobles, kings, monarchs, all that. And they are taking bayat at his hands and he is becoming a means of their hidayat. See how it works, how the procedure goes. So this is what I mean when I say production. There's no production. Production is because you're not fulfilling the precondition. The prerequisite is not being fulfilled. We want to be there. And what is our investment? Investment is 10 days Ramadan. That's the investment. And we want to be already there. So now, Allah Pak will give, Allah Pak wants to give. And in this day and time, these preconditions, Allah Ta'ala has relaxed it. Al-ana khaffafa Allahu ankum wa alima anna feekum da'fa. He's relaxed it. It's not as severe as it was then. But there must be some precondition. Can't be no precondition at all. There must be some precondition. Speaking about several Buzurgana Deen in this article and their outlook, their understanding, and what is there in us, what is there in them for us to pick up. some tremendous things in them. There's jewels in them that we need to pick up. Okay. He speaks about Hazrat Maula Gangur Hamtali's daughter that she became widowed. Hazrat Maula Hamtali is from Gango, and she is also from Gango. She is advanced in age. She's advanced in age, and Hazrat Maula saw her in his dream. So I had seen her when I was a child, and I had seen her in my dream, and she is recommending some type of zikr that I should be doing. So I went there, and I am of age, 13, 14 years of age. So then she says, now I'm going to observe parda from you. So she observed the parda, and she ushered him, and she observed parda. So he related his dream. So she says that may be haqiqat, malumni, I am that useless. Be haqiqat, useless. A useless thing like me. I don't know which pious woman had come in my appearance in your dream. It was some other pious person, but had come in my appearance in the dream. You see, it happens. Allah Ta'ala's help comes in different ways, in different people's appearance. See, one more. Tanwi Sabram says that some of his murids, they are on the throes of death, and they are seeing Mawla Tanwi Rahmatullah came to receive them, as though the Malakul Maut has come in that appearance. Why is coming in that appearance? He's come in that appearance because you're familiar of that shape. There's familiarity. When there's familiarity, then you don't feel that estranged feeling. So many a times you see someone pious, it may not be the pious person that you've seen. Maybe someone coming in that appearance, maybe a farishta, maybe whatever it is, but in that appearance. And why he comes just to make you feel familiar. Hazrat Hafiz Ahmad Saab is an alim, but he's known as Hafiz Ahmad Saab, rahmatullahi. He was the father of our Muhtamim principal, Hazrat Qari Tayyib Saab, rahmatullahi. So he had seen in his dream Hazrat Haji Saab, rahmatullahi, Haji Imdadullah Saab, rahmatullahi. And Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Saab, rahmatullahi, is correcting Hazrat Hafiz Ahmad Saab that you Diobandi Ulama-i Kiram, why are you so severe against Maulud and all that? Baqi, there is some gunjaish, there is some scope, there is some room to make this Maulud and all that. You become so severe against it. What's the reason for that? So in the dream, Hafiz Ahmad Saab is telling Hadi Saab, rahmatullahi, no, that there is no gunjaish for doing this. There is no room for doing this at all. You say there's room, but there's no room. Hari Sahib says, no, there is some room. Hafiz Sahib is saying, there's no room. So, Hafiz Sahib says, Hari Sahib Rahmatullah says, if I get the approval from Rasulullah himself, Hafiz Sahib says, well, if you get the approval from him, then there is no difference then. We are doing it, whatever we are doing, on account of the teaching of Rasulullah, we are not doing it because of his teaching. But if he himself has to approve of this practice, then we will discontinue it straight away. Immediately we will just stop this. Abruptly we will stop this. Just then, Hazrat Rasulullah had appeared. And as Rasulullah had come in, this whole masla was presented before Hazrat Rasulullah. And Hazrat Rasulullah says that what Hafiz Ahmad is saying is right. Sahib Zada jo keh raha hai, wo sahi hai. What he is saying is right. So Hadi Sahib rahmatullahi, he was in this dream, he was in the standing position. In the standing position, he came into a bowing position and he said, sahi o baja. Sahi o baja. It's right and it's 100%. It's right and 100%. 7 times he said this. Anyway, this dream was noted down and then sent to Hari Sahib rahmatullahi. Hari Sahib is very, very impressed. And he says, this must be buried with me. See? But in this dream here, what happened, tail end of this dream, is Rasool-e-Pasand had conformed, had expressed his approval for what Haji Hafiz Ahmad Sahib had said. But as Hafiz Ahmad Sahib was leaving, so Hafiz Ahmad Sahib asked Rasool-e-Pasand, but you know, in the kitabs of hadith, when we hear of your description is something else. Here, we see that you have come in the form of Hazrat Mawal Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. What we hear of your description in the Shama'il is quite different. And here you have come in the form of Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So why is this difference? So Rasool-e-Pasand then told Hafiz Ahmad Sahib that that description is my original description. But the fact is this, that you have i'tiqad and you have faith in Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Therefore, I've come in his appearance. See, people have faith in some person. Or like how we say, oh, Mufti Sahib said it, and so said this. So we take that as an argument. So I've come in this appearance because you have the faith and confidence in that personality. Therefore, I've come in that appearance. So our silsila then from Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali then moves on to Al-Mawal Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Right? Al-Mawal Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is a report of him that he had seen in the dream that Rasool-e-Pasand had asked him 100 questions, 100 masail, and he answered in accordance to the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. And thereafter, Rasool-e-Pasand had given him the license, the authority to pass fatwa. His days of studies and his initial days of his Islah, etc., he went through some difficult moments as well. You see, they had been studying in Delhi. There was no hardly any madrasa at that time. We're talking now over 150 years ago. So there were hardly any madrasas with boarding facilities and all that. So there were some madaris in Delhi. Delhi was a center. So there were some madaris there. And Al-Mawal Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would deliberately leave the road that goes through the town and he would take an alternate route to the madrasa. The reason being, if I cut through the town, then they are all mitai shops. And if my sight falls on those mitai shops, then I'll be tempted towards those mitais, etc. And I don't have the cash, then my mind will start wandering thereafter. See? Even if I had the cash, if I'm going to go there, my mind is going to wander. If my mind is going to wander, then I won't be able to receive. See, in a studying environment and in a khanqah environment, you're not allowed to be wandering, allow your eyes to go here, there, everywhere, see this, go see that, go see everything else, because all that occupies your mind. That occupies your mind, and for you to receive becomes a little bit difficult, because everything what you are receiving now has to go through all that what you have seen, and then it falls into your heart. So it becomes difficult for your mind to receive, because everything has been photoed in your mind. It's photoed, you've seen all that is filtering through all what you have seen, then sitting in your heart. So now eliminate that. Why go and see those things? Okay. So these things then become a problem. Therefore, in a madrasa or in a khanqa, then unnecessary movements, seeing unnecessarily things, whatever, people, whatever, is not a healthy thing. That is why when they talk about a studying environment, you're not supposed to be having pictures and charts and all that, too many photos and pictures and charts and all that. The color must be something like this, not bright and not too dark, something dull, you know, creamy. So that color also, it has an effect. If something too bright or something too dark, that's not good for a studying environment. So the less the material, the less the attractive material, the easier for you to retain. And the more attractive the material, the more complicated and difficult it becomes for you to retain things. And you don't retain things. You just take it for the moment and your mind goes. So this is what studies require. Furthermore, Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, in his zamana, he was the Qutb of the time. There wasn't a Buzurg of that caliber in his time. Right? Hari Sahib himself used to say that now the roles have been swapped. Really, I'm in his position and he's in my position. Right? And he says after that, that this, what I'm saying, is conclusive. It's from Allah Ta'ala what I'm saying. The roles have been swapped. He's in my position and I am in his position. So Hadith also is to hold him in that type of esteem. When Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi was contemplating on Bayat, etc., he hadn't taken Bayat as yet. Just then, Hari Sahib Rahmatullahi had seen a dream that Rasulullah Sallallahu has come into the house, and till then Hari Sahib wasn't married, you see. So the sister-in-law used to very eagerly prepare the food for the mihman. So Rasulullah came into the house and he shifted this sister-in-law away and he says, okay, you move away. I am going to prepare the food for the guests of Hari Sahib Rahmatullahi. Hari Sahib made out, okay, now there's going to be ulama that's going to come to take bayat. Because ulama-i-kiram and students are the guests of Rasulullah Pak Salaam. Right? Ulama-i-kiram students said they are the guests of Rasulullah Pak Salaam. So being the guest, he will arrange. So Hari Sahib made out. And then the first person that initiated was Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. That was his initiation. Imagine where it started from. The starting point is where our whole effort will end, not even there. That is the starting point. So Hazrat Muhammad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi had issued a fatwa of a certain bird being halal. I'm not deliberately mentioning that name. Not trying to confuse people. People that know it, they know it. They don't need to know about it. In the meanwhile, there was one saintly figure in Purab. Purab is in UP, but a different area. Like how you get this Azamgarh, all that, that's called Purab. That section is called Purab. So one great saintly person, very great buzurg from Purab, he taunted, he made a comment. He said, today this bird is made halal, tomorrow even the vulture or eagle will be halal, He made a comment. And then after some time, this buzurg sees that my whole heart has been darkened. Before, my heart was illuminated, and there was a lot of zeal, there was a lot of aspiration, there was a lot of drive. And now suddenly I see there's a block. I don't have the drive, I don't have that motivation. What happened now? He's trying to figure out what happened, where it started from. And he's crying, he's making dua, going to this buzurg, going to that buzurg. Nothing working out. Eventually one buzurg told him that it looks like you have taunted and you have passed a comment on some buzurg. So no, it didn't happen. So now think about it. Then as he reflected, he made out, yes, I have made a mistake. When this fatwa was issued, this was the comment that I made. So that's the result of that comment. See, this person is not an ordinary person. In fact, any fatwa that is issued in the name of deen, that we don't have a right to make a comment. Because that fatwa, coming from a mufti who is qualified, etc., he is passing the verdict on the basis of the Quran and the hadith. And you showing any disregard or disrespect, really amounts to the disrespect to the Quran and the Hadith. You, in agreement with a certain alim, you carry on, but that doesn't give you the license to disrespect the next alim. He's given a contradictory view. He's given another view. Both are based on the Quran and the Hadith. So you don't have the right to condemn him, criticize him, run him down. What is agreeable with you, you accept it and move on. But don't you go and embarrass or humiliate the next alim. So anyway, now he was really, really in a terrible state. I lost everything. Years, it took me years to acquire this, and now everything has been lost. Everything is wiped out from my memory. Everything is gone. So he set on foot straight away to ask an apology to Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi from Purab. Now as he came to Sahanpur, so he's there in that masjid in Sahanpur, and he sees Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi in the dream. And Hazrat says, Sab maafi dil safi. Everything is forgiven and my heart is clear towards you. Immediately, that which was lost, that came back again. It was restored. See that? I was explaining that day, the use of the tongue, what damage it can cause, and how great the person is, and one misuse of the tongue, and what destruction it causes. See, this tongue is very important. We think that tongue is, we take it very casually, insignificant, we don't pay a lot of respect to the tongue, but that same tongue misuse, you've been enjoying a marital relationship for 50 years, misuse of the tongue, and you separate it for good. Does it happen or not? Misuse of the tongue. You got a friendship with someone, long-standing relationship, and misuse of the tongue. Now that friendship, both the friends are poles apart. They don't want to see each other. Eid day comes, Eid day goes. You don't want to see each other. That's one true statement. Stupid, you robbed me, you cheated me. Now that person feels hurt. He feels hurt, gone. Relationship is broken. So one statement. So one statement can break a long-drawn relationship, long-drawn relationship for years, one statement, one misuse, one abuse of the tongue, and it's broken. See? So we sometimes think, oh, I just said this word here, one word. One word, what does it mean? And what weight does it carry? But now you see, one statement in your friendship, what happens to you? One statement, it's gone, finish, class, end of the story. The relationship is permanently broken down, severed. So this severance of relationship, and I explained, okay, what is the precondition, what is the desired thing, this fana'iyat. From this fana'iyat, as that fana'iyat strengthens, you know, it's like the foundation. The stronger it is, then the better the edifice and the structure that comes above it. And the weaker that foundation, then you will have something coming up, but a small little hut. You can't go beyond that, because the foundation that is laid is very weak. It can't carry a bigger structure. So that's what you are only capable of carrying. That's what you will carry. So this fanayat has to be strengthened as much as we can. I explain what is the meaning, more or less the meaning of fanayat, total, absolute. At any given time, you're caught off guard, expected or unexpected, but total conformity is a command of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it is my deen, whether it is dunya, whatever way, but everything happens with the will of Allah Ta'ala, and I must take it in total, I must be in total conformity, and I must take it with a smile, total conformity and with a smile, no objection. I am a slave. One person purchased a slave, just to show you this fana'iyat. He purchased a slave. So he asked the slave, what will be your work, whatever you assign, and what you will refrain from, whatever you prohibit me from, what will you wear, what you ask me to wear, what will you eat, what you tell me to eat, what will be your name, whatever you name me, and what will be the places that you will go to, whatever you assign, whatever you say. So he says, may Allah Ta'ala reward you. Allah Ta'ala tera bhala kare. May Allah Ta'ala reward you. Really, You have taught me the lesson of abdiyat, fana'iyat. Slavery, servitude, you have taught me. That the slave doesn't have a name of his own, a work of his own, a choice of his own, clothing of his own, movement of his own, sleeping of his own, nothing of his own, whatever the master says. And he's in total conformity, happily is conforming. Whatever the master says. No disagreement, no objection. A simple example to illustrate this is you got a staff in the shop. You got a couple of staff. There's one staff that you say something and he makes an objection, some type of ishkal, whatever. He'll do it eventually. But initially, there's a little bit of hesitation, a little bit of objection, and then eventually you'll get to do it. And there is the second staff, whatever you say, Lani, whatever you say. You say, you just tell it, we'll do it, man. Who are you comfortable to say? Who are you comfortable to work with? First one or the second one? So that second one, he's learned fana'iyat. Whatever you say. You must say, we'll do it. You must just tell us, we'll do it. So you feel comfortable to work with him. You will tell him, you can shout him, you can do everything with him. But the first one, you need him, so you'll keep him. But you won't take that amount of work, you won't hand out that amount of responsibility, you won't assign that job to him. You'll give it to this one. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. To discuss few masail with regards to talaq and divorce. As far as talaq is concerned, this is the right of the husband. The wife has no option with regards to talaq, unless if the husband makes a condition or hands over the right to the wife that, which is referred to as the freeze of talaq, that if in the case that certain thing happens, then you have the right of exercising this choice, then that is a separate case. But it is always the prerogative and the right of the husband to issue the divorce. Then talaq can take place both verbally and also in writing. That if the husband utters the words of talaq, addressing it to the wife, then two talaq will take place. Or even if he just writes it addressed to his wife, that will also take place. So even if the husband sends an SMS to the wife, also got a cell phone, then two the talaq will go through. Or even if the husband just writes out the talaq with the intention of the wife receiving it, as soon as he writes it, the talaq will take place and it will be effective immediately without it even having reached the wife. Then as far as the words of divorce are concerned, then you can get two types of words that a person can utter and express. One is the clear words of talaq and divorce, that either a person uses the Arabic word itself, that this is that woman that you are, I give you talaq, or he uses an equivalent of it in any other language, and that is the only meaning of the word talaq. For example, in English, if a person uses the word divorce, then this is the direct equivalent of the word talaq, and it has that standard meaning of talaq. So if a person uses these clear words, then this will cause and effect a talaq-e raj'i to take place, that is a revocable talaq. And the law of a revocable talaq is that as long as that woman is still within her iddat period, then the husband has the choice of revoking the talaq and taking her back. There is no need to renew the nikah or making a second nikah. Though the husband, from the three talaqs that he has given the choice of, he has lost one if he has issued one talaq. And the other type of word that a person can use is the kinaya, or the ambiguous or unclear words. That, for example, if the husband in a fit of rage shouts the wife and tells her, for example, get out or pack your bags and go back home, etc. So this will depend on the situation or the intention that the husband had at the time of uttering those words. So if the husband utters such words that could indicate towards a type of divorce, then we will say that although these words are not clearly the words of divorce, but they could mean an imply divorce, so this will cause a talaq to take place. But the talaq that takes place over here will be called a talaq-e ba'in, that is an irrevocable talaq. And the law of an irrevocable talaq is that if the husband wishes to go back to that wife, then he will not just be able to revoke the talaq, But rather he will have to renew the nikah. So it is only if she accepts renewing the nikah, then only can he remarry her. Otherwise he has no other choice. And if a person issues two talaqs, if it's a clear words of talaq, then the husband can still revoke the talaq. But once the husband issues three talaqs, then this will be termed as talaqi mughallaza. That is where the husband cannot go back to the wife. And if he does wish to go back to the wife, then after she passes her iddat period, she will have to first remarry a second husband. He will have to either divorce her, etc. And then she will have to spend her iddat. And after she spends her iddat, then only can the first husband remarry her, depending on whether she wishes to remarry her or not. And the words of talaq, if the husband uses a word of the future tense, that he addresses his wife and says that, I will divorce you. So then this will not cause talaq to take place. Either it has to be something of the past tense, something which is definite, that I have divorced you, etc., then only will the talaq be effective. And even if a person is in the state of intoxication and he issues a talaq, then also the talaq will be effective and valid. A person will not be excused in this state. And if a person attaches a condition to the talaq, that for example the husband tells the wife that if for example you go and meet a certain person, then you will be divorced. So if she does meet that person, then the talaq will take place. And as long as she doesn't meet that person, then the talaq will not take place. And once the talaq is issued, then that woman has to spend her iddat. And the period of iddat for a normal woman who experiences haiz and her monthly periods is that she will have to pass three monthly periods and monthly cycles. And at the end of the third period, that is when her iddat will terminate. And if a woman is in a state of pregnancy and the husband had issued the talaq, then her iddat will only terminate upon her giving birth. And if the woman has reached such an old age, that way she has reached the old age of menopause and she no more experiences haiz, then her iddat will be the passing of 3 months.